Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Chris Marston. Chris is the Chief of Staff in the Office of the National Drug Control Policy. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, let's start by finding out more about the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Could you describe its missions and activities for us?
Sure. The Office of National Drug Control Policy, we call it ONDCP for short, started in the late 80s at sort of the height of the drug problem in America. The first director was Bill Bennett, and the director is often called the drug czar. We don't have czars in America. There are no czar-like powers, but it's a convenient shorthand for director of national drug control policy. We're responsible to the president for coordinating the government-wide policy and national efforts, you know, more than just federal, state, and local efforts to combat drug abuse in America. We do it both on what we call the demand and supply side, so reducing the desire of people to use in the United States through prevention and treatment efforts, and supply reduction, reducing the flow of drugs into the United States, and also reducing the supply of drugs that are manufactured or grown here in the United States.
It's a large and important mission. Give us a sense of how big is ONDCP and what type of people work there.
We've got about 150 people in the office. Just over 100 of them are career employees of the office who've been hired exclusively to work for us. There are also a number of detailees from other agencies. We have some folks from the Defense Department who have some really great training, not just on our supply reduction policies or things you typically associate with defense, but some other areas of expertise like budget analysts and a medical examiner from the Surgeon General's Corps, some other folks who have some skills to offer, as well as detailees from some other departments in government, folks from over at HHS or Justice who can also be a real help, and they come over for anywhere between 1 and 3 years and work with us in areas of expertise they have that they've learned in their home departments.
And how does ONDCP, what do they call its budget? How do they look at the budget?
It's always a little bit of a challenge. We have sort of two budgets to deal with. One is fairly small. It's our own office budget and, you know, the typical salaries and expense, you know, account that everyone has to deal with. We also have four programs that we manage ourselves at the Office of National Drug Control Policy. We have the National Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign that I'm sure some listeners are familiar with from seeing the ads on television and radio. We also have the Drug-Free Communities Program, which supports community anti-drug coalitions in communities around the country. We're up around 500 of them now. We have CTAC, the Counter-Drug Technology Assessment Center. And finally, we have the HIDA program, or High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas, where we make grants to law enforcement, where federal, state, and local law enforcement groups get together around a major metropolitan area and work collaboratively on the drug problem. So we have the account of things we manage, which runs to about $500 million. And then we manage the entire federal drug control effort. So there's actually a separate table in the president's budget that's released each year that details drug control spending wherever it happens in the government. We've actually taken a slightly different approach. In the past, it's been what we call a scored table. You take the full amount of an appropriation for a particular agency, say, for the Safe and Drug-Free Schools program. We would take everything that was about drug abuse but not alcohol abuse, and we'd score that. So these were all estimates, and they didn't really reflect actual dollars. When John Walters, our new director, took over just over a year ago, he decided the best way to go was to actually talk about real dollars. So what we did was we stopped doing scoring. We took the rule either all in or all out of the drug budget. And we also stopped counting programs that dealt with sort of the costs of substance abuse. So while we scored a small portion of aid to families with dependent children and welfare spending, we no longer do that because we don't manage that for the purpose of reducing drugs. It has an effect on that as one of many of its activities, but we don't actually make programmatic decisions in the federal government by saying, well, this drug abuse problem is this, so we need to spend X dollars of welfare money on it. We just don't do budgeting that way. So we decided to take the most realistic approach we could to the budget. But for, I think, four accounts, everything's either all in or all out. And in those four accounts, which are the most important of the multi-mission agencies, Veterans Administrations, Healthcare, the Coast Guard, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, these accounts, what we do is we work with the agency to identify a specific portion of funding in their budget that's going to be managed for drug control activities. So the Coast Guard has a certain number of sea hours that they're going to operate that are specifically dedicated to drug supply reduction. So we count those, but we don't count the time they spend doing fisheries enforcement or maritime safety.
What's interesting about the ONDCP is it's actually in the executive office of the president. And I'm curious, how does it fit with the other activities and the responsibilities of the executive office of the president?
Well, it's very interesting. I think that it was originally placed in the executive office of the president because they wanted to emphasize, the folks in Congress who developed the bill, wanted to emphasize the importance of the issue and that it needed to be a high-level presidential advisor who was responsible for it. I think they had in mind things like the National Security Council. It's evolved a little bit differently than some of the other offices. There are 9 different components in the Executive Office of the President, including things like the Council on Environmental Quality, the U.S. Trade Representative, National Security Council, as I mentioned, National Economic Council. And those are all very much specific policy-oriented organizations. We sort of combine policy and program. We do a little bit of duplicating the functions of some of these other offices, which is normally not something you'd hear from someone interested in management. But because drug control is so broad and has so many aspects from both foreign and domestic policy, it was important to take someone who could integrate all that into one cohesive strategy. And, you know, the U.S. Trade Representative works on trade. It's exclusively trade. It's mostly foreign, of course, dealing some with domestic folks who are interested in trade. But the work, you know, spans to the State Department, the Commerce Department, whereas we actually at one time considered 54 departments and agencies as part of the drug budget. So it's very broad. In some senses, it's like the Office of Management and Budget, which is another part of the Executive Office of the President. Our authorities are certainly not as comprehensive as they manage the president's entire budget. But we do very similar functions for the drug control portion of the president's budget.
Now, let's talk about your role as the chief of staff. What do you do and what are your responsibilities?
I'm responsible for the day-to-day management of the office of the 150 employees that are there, sort of in a chief operating officer kind of way. I also manage the director's schedule and the sort of decision-making process that we have in the office. With so many different people and so many areas of responsibility, it's difficult to have coordinated decisions come up to the director. So I do my best to manage the input from different parts of the staff to present decisions to him in the most easily digestible and easy to make way.
Tell us about your career before coming to ONDCP.
I spent 5 years on Capitol Hill. Most recently, I worked for the House Parliamentarian, who's responsible for advising the Speaker on the rules of the chamber, managing the referral of bills to committees, managing conduct of business on the floor, points of order and germaneness, and all sorts of other things that are complicated subjects that most people wouldn't be interested in unless they worked in the House. I took that job in part to go to law school at night. It was a little bit slower paced than some of the political jobs I'd had on the Hill. Before that, I had worked for several members of Congress in a subcommittee. I worked for Speaker Hastert before he was Speaker at what's called the Subcommittee on National Security, International Affairs, and Criminal Justice. It's part of the Government Reform Committee, which is sort of a unique beast. It has jurisdiction over the whole government, but it's oversight jurisdiction as opposed to authorizing or appropriating jurisdiction like other committees have. So the first person I worked for there was Congressman Bill Zelif from New Hampshire, and he really made drug policy a central focus of that subcommittee. So that's where I sort of got my start in drug policy. So I did that for a little while, and I worked for Congressman Rob Portman from Ohio, who Speaker Gingrich and then Speaker Hastert appointed as a leader of the Speaker's drug task force. It was an important issue for both of them, and Congressman Portman had done some really great work in his hometown of Cincinnati, forming a community coalition there, the Coalition for a Drug-Free Greater Cincinnati, that did a lot of real grassroots youth-oriented community work to keep kids off drugs.
How do you think your experiences on the Hill prepared you for your present position?
Well, from a policy perspective, it was great preparation. I had a pretty good handle on most areas of drug policy, not a whole lot of depth, but sufficient breadth to know what was going on. From a management perspective, it was really quite a transition. At most, an office on the Hill has, you know, 15 people, at least on the House side, in a member office or a subcommittee. So the most people I'd ever worked with very closely were, you know, 5 or 8. So coming over to the executive branch and being in a management position in a fairly significant agency was quite a change for me.
What were the lessons learned from having so many more people to deal with?
Taking some of the same lessons that I learned on the Hill, in one way it did prepare me well because it emphasizes the importance of interaction and collaboration with people outside your office and with the few folks inside your office. So I learned a lot of sort of management by walking around, getting to know a lot of the staff in the building so I could keep tabs on what was going on and make sure I developed a good relationship with all the folks in the building so they trust me and I trust them to do what's right for the director and the country.
Well, how about the allocation of time with 5 to 8 people? I imagine you could spend a lot of time with them with 150-ish you can't.
It's a real challenge. That's the truth. I figure I spend about half my day planning forward and thinking about strategy and the road ahead, and the other half of the day dealing with the problem du jour. So I get a chance to interact with staff, unfortunately, more often when they have a problem than just on an informal basis. But problems are fairly evenly distributed. So I wind up seeing a lot of folks and being able to help work through problems. It's been a little bit of a tough transition for me. Before I took over as chief of staff, I was the deputy chief of staff, and I could spend a little more time getting involved in a particular problem because there were other people handling other things. So I've learned a lot of lessons about delegating since I took over as chief of staff it was not something I used to do on the Hill. Things were delegated to me. I didn't delegate to anyone else because there was nobody else there. So that's been a new management skill I've been developing.
Good time for a break. Come back in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Chris Marston of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. What are the management challenges from working with other federal departments to control drugs? We'll ask Chris when the Business of Government Hour returns.